Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Time. We hear that word so often and use it so many ways. Have you ever stopped and considered just how many ways we use the word? Believe it or not, I actually had an entire course at college devoted to the idea of time. Time and its many uses. Pause and think with me for a moment about its many functions. One way that we think about time is in our wording. We have past tense, present tense, future tense, perfect, and probably others that I'm not remembering at this moment. With past tense, we talk about something that has already taken place. Present tense describes what is currently taking place. Future tense tells us what will happen, or at least what we believe, hope, or plan to have happen, which can and often does get changed. Perfect describes a past event which has been completed. Time has had more to do with our existence since the fall, because we now have death because of the fall of our parents, Adam and Eve, into sin. We now hold on to the years, months, days, and minutes out of fear of the Lord's wrath and separation that came with the fall. Separation not only person to person, but even body and soul. God even helped us to set out our days in the book of Exodus. When he established the covenant of the Passover with Moses, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." How was time divided prior to this? Was it divided? Well, one might reconsider that in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were supposed to tend and care for the Garden of Eden. They probably kept track of it somehow, but this is the first account that I have found that mentions keeping track of time in such an orderly fashion. Since we do live bound in time, day to day and year to year, and as we live for a particular period of time, our epistle text calls the days evil, and it encourages us to make the best use of it. We turn then to our text to see what God has to tell us this morning about living in time. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." At the outset, Paul recalls words which fell between last week's reading and this week's. "Sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Doing those things which are sexually immoral, then, are not making the best use of time. But note that Paul doesn't just stop there. He includes coveting, filthiness, foolish talk, and even crude joking. Spending your time coveting only makes you desire the object of your thoughts that much more. Dwelling on it in itself is sinfully wrong, but can also lead to considering and possibly employing the equally sinful way of trying to obtain that object. It is wasted time. Sinful time. The same is true for foolish talk and crude joking. Even thinking of foolish things or crude jokes is as bad as telling them. And the more time spent thinking them up is also gravely wasted. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not throw away the time that you have been given by God. Your time is a present from God, and that is why we call it the present. Or at least so I've heard. That idea is not from the Scriptures. The idea that you are right where you need to be and the time that you need to be, however, is in the Scriptures. Take a look at Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Now that you have been set free, today, this morning, you are living in the forgiveness granted to you by our Lord Jesus Christ. So walk as the children of light. How? Hear the words of Paul to those in Ephesus. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. How much time, dear friends in Christ, do you spend each day considering the will of the Lord in your life? Do you spend 8 hours? 4 hours? 2 hours? 1 hour? Half an hour? 10 minutes? How do you expect to live in the wisdom if you do not know what true wisdom is? Have you never heard that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? That was in one of the Old Testament readings for this morning from Proverbs. I hope then that I am speaking to those who are wise in the Lord, those who will not abuse the word of the Lord like scoffers, but the wise who will be thankful for instruction. But I know that this word of the Lord will not go unheard. It is not a waste of my time. You have been reborn in Christ Jesus, and you have received the seal of His Holy Spirit, making you wise unto salvation. In giving you His Holy Spirit, God has given you the ability to not only discern His will, but to do it. Jesus told His disciples that the will of God is to believe in the One whom He has sent. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, who is even active in you right now as you hear these words, you do believe in Jesus. You do believe in the One whom He has sent. You do believe that Jesus has come to the planet to die for your sins and the sins of the world when the very fullness of time had come. And now here you are, alive at this time, in this place where God has placed you, with the talents that God has given to you to do His will, believing in and trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, for your salvation. Therefore, do not walk as those in darkness, but as those in the light of Christ. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. As the Holy Spirit keeps you in faith, He also directs your heart as a conductor leads an orchestra. You see, there's another use of time that I have not mentioned up to this point. In music. Now, I know that some of you have told me that you're no musician or vocalist, but that doesn't matter in terms of making music to the Lord in your heart. God's Spirit has given your heart all that it needs to make music to Him that is pleasing to God as you trust in His Son. In this way, you will speak psalms and hymns to each other, building each other up with God's word. You will use your talents to the glory of the Lord and in service to your neighbor. And yes, even playing instruments is involved in this. In doing our Greek study of this passage, we found that in the Greek, the phrase making melody in verse 19 actually refers to the plucking of stringed instruments. Sounds a lot like Psalm 150, doesn't it? Making music to the Lord with lyres and string instruments. But even Psalm 150 doesn't leave it to just the string instruments. It includes cymbals and trumpets and tambourines. Again, you don't need a musical conductor or a earthly gift of music, musical talent to do this. Although you most certainly may use those talents if you have them. All that you need is the Holy Spirit who is in you right now, working in you to believe in Jesus as your Savior and to serve your neighbor. In Jesus' name, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.